Starting dark in here. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing some of our songs. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this lovely day and for each and every person that's here. I pray for your good hand upon them, upon us all, Lord, and our brothers and sisters across the world, wherever they might be, Father. I pray you this day for all of our daily bread, Lord. Please help us. And for those that can't be here, we miss Frank and Colin and Christine and Mary Ann, even William, Lord, and John McGowan and John McMahon, and friends and family, Lord. Please, I pray, speak to souls that's not here and help them too, Lord, comfort and strengthen and save. I pray for Israel, you'd watch over them. For America and Britain, Lord, especially if you would watch over them. And Lord, for all the leaders of all of the countries, I know the Lord, that the God that we worship, can hear every prayer that's lifted up at any time, and he's certainly able to speak to the rulers in this world, Lord, all at the same time, with the same message. Please, Lord, we pray. Thank you for your long-suffering and patience for us as individuals. Let us remember that as you work in other people's hearts and minds. Love you and thank you, and we ask for this and for our private prayer requests for lost loved ones. And Lord, we thank you for opportunities to serve. We ask for all of this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to start in the big hymn books this morning. If you would like to take and turn to 150 in the big books. This is one called My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Amen.
I need no one.
good one to begin with. We're going to continue on with one I'm sure you'll all recognize. This is 406. 406 is who is on the Lord's side. 406, who is on the Lord's side? If you're able, please join me on your feet as we sing 406. Amen.
Makes the trial of joy. turn this morning to the second epistle of Peter, Second Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall that they with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the righteous man dwelling among them, is seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil to things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the same day. Spots, they are the blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart that hath exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken their right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, dumb as speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in horror, they live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, for the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome the latter, end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
one verse that, given the way things are going on in the world right now, it really jumped out at me there. It was verse 19. It says, "They promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." And that just speaks so much of the great things that are spoken to us about our politicians and leaders, and yet all the while they've got their snouts in the trough and they're just corrupting themselves. And good Bible reading. We appreciate that this morning. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to our prayer list this morning? It's the little blue one. The one that speaks of summer clear blue days. So it's more of a hope thing than a direct comparison. But does anybody have any additions to the prayer list this morning? I haven't heard anything about Beryl's daughter-in-law, Michelle, and their interview. You didn't hear anything about that. Well, please do.
Tomorrow,
is it?
What date did you have?
I just have prayers for it here, so please do remember that. And we have a work colleague of Will's, Hannah. Please do pray for her. Private prayer requests. Does anybody still have their private prayer requests? Just keep your hand up for a minute. Amen. Thank you very much. As far as thanks go, we still have an addition to us there. We have Ed Bissett, who so far, and we hope for until the Lord comes back for him and us, he is clear of the bladder cancer, and we're glad to hear that. And we have thanks for Frank's safe travels. I suppose we can put that down again. I'm sure he got home again safe and sound. So do continue to pray for Frank and John and Colin. I haven't heard much of Colin recently, so please do continue to pray for that young fellow's life. And I think that's that, unless there's something else we can be praying about. Is it Tuesday week that Ling and Dr. Shang are traveling to China for 10 or 11 or 12 days? So please do pray for them as they travel. But that's not this Tuesday coming, but next Tuesday. So please do pray for them. Any other thanks? Any other...
Thanks for all the blessings you received.
Still have that there. And Steve's fistula is still working?
Yeah, on and off, yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Well, I want to be switched over at the moment. Close that.
Grand job. That's that. The Lord knows what all those private prayer requests entail, and I pray that He does answer them indeed. But most importantly, according to His will. And speaking of Will, would you pray for us, Will, please? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son down on the cross for us. That's me. In your name, and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we show Him and talk to you among the unbelievers, those who are backslidden, to show Him in this critical world as well, Lord. In the good name we pray to you today, Lord. Set our songs, our praises, our prayers, and everything else, Lord, in service today, Lord. We send all a holy blessing in your sight, Lord. See us those mighty hearts throughout this land, and especially the city. Be able to the church went through the doors of Broadway yesterday, but also through the doors throughout the city, and up to the Gavin, up to Ali Kelly throughout the years, Lord. Mm-hmm. Use those tracks, Lord, to go right those out of loss, Lord. And use the Spirit to come up with sin, Lord, and we turn from up, repent of those sins, and lay there to send us through the whole road across. Lord, we've answered God wherever we need to be. We're praying for wherever it is. Keep safe from well, Lord. Help Willie's work, Lord, and draw him closer up. He also will call, give protection, Lord. And keep safe from well, Lord, and draw him closer up with as well. See if you see him call, and draw, Lord, out of church, but more importantly, see if there's so many paths as well, Lord. Also, we want to keep you safe and well. We're praying for Steve being here, Lord. Every head is represented, and a house is represented as well, Lord. Also, John Bradfield, give him a blessing as well, Lord. We want to come to deliver the gospel, your love resonate in our lives and our souls, Lord. prepares for a new week, Lord, maybe a crescent, Lord, and we thank for all your many manifold blessings and gifts, Lord, to us, our sinners saved by grace. We also give us Mark the gospel today, Lord, and Lord, help us to see a blessing in life. Let all of our glory for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Walt. Mrs. Bradfield, I think we may need your ivory tinkling abilities. If we're going to sing, won't it be wonderful there? Number 22 in the wee black book. Number 22, won't it be wonderful there? They haven't sung this for a while, so it'll be good to get a refresh. But like being here in the morning, won't it be wonderful there? Bethel in the morning. Just remain seated as we sing.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? End of the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there?
Stand for that one, but I need Mrs. Bradfield to provide the music again first. 140, we have an anchor in the big books. If you're able, let's stand and make a joyful noise, and then I'll give your vocal cords a rest for 15 or 20 minutes. 140.
We have an anchor that keeps us on.
hand. We have an anchor. Good thing to remember that no matter what, we're passing through the rock by the Savior's love. Amen. We are reading in John chapter 9 this morning, if you would like to take and turn there. I know I have mentioned from time to time as I read in John chapter 9 and John chapter 10, I love these verses so much that I can't help but look for a message or listen for a little bit of inspiration for a message as we read these portions of God's Word. Because in John 9 and John 10, it is a beautiful picture, a somewhat sad picture, but a beautiful picture, first of all, of a man realizing that modern religion does not do anything for you, meeting Jesus as his Savior, and then being rejected by modern religion. And then in John chapter 10, it talks about the great promise of God to keep you in the palm of his hand. So two great chapters. I love them. They were a great help to me whenever I was in my early Christian life. And I hope this will be a little bit of a help to you. Title for the message is, How Can You? How Can You? And I hope that you will see and understand why that is the title of the message as we go on. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of this portion of God's Word and think for a little bit on the subject of how can you? The Word of God says, As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And we're stopping there. Verse number 3 is our text for this morning, or the text that inspired the message, and I hope it will be a help to you. Let's have another prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, I do indeed thank you for being able to meet here this morning, and thank the Lord for the lovely weather outside, and the great dearth of raincoats and overcoats. It's so nice to be able to turn up, Lord, even in shirt sleeves. And we get to experience that so very infrequently. We thank you for the promise of good weather over the next few days. Please bless our time in your word, Lord. And please, I pray, just work and touch each one of our minds and our hearts. And Lord, give us, I pray you, a little bit of wisdom and a lot of understanding as we take time to read and study your word. We love you and thank you. We ask all these things for private prayer requests, especially for Israel at this time. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will, amen. 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 As we've already mentioned, before we even got into the reading of the Bible this morning, this is the portion of God's Word that deals with a man that had been born blind. And, you know, sometimes people ask silly questions. I hesitate to say stupid questions. But I want you to understand this. I had a maths teacher, a fearsome maths teacher, and he was about my age whenever I was about 13 or 14, which means he stepped off into eternity. I pray that he got saved and was walking with the Lord. But one thing, I can't remember all the stuff that he ever taught me, but I remember this one thing. He said, I'm a maths teacher. If you have a problem with mathematics, ask me. In other words, if you have any questions, ask and I will set you right. Don't be afraid to ask questions, even if you think everybody else thinks it's stupid, because I guarantee you at least half the people that are listening are thinking exactly the same thing but don't want to ask. Don't be afraid to ask questions or say something, as long as you learn. Don't keep asking the same questions over and over, because that shows that you're not quite getting the grasp of it. But I always am amazed, and I think, can't remember, was it Thomas or was it one of the other disciples? Does anyone remember the account of Lazarus? Whenever Jesus said, let's go and see Lazarus, and the disciples said, great, let's go, and Jesus has to tell them, look, Lazarus is dead. And one of the apostles says, let's go and die with him. And I'm thinking, what? What possible sense could that make? I am sure the Lord's going to show me exactly what that means in the very near future, and I'm going to bring that to you. But here we have a disciple saying about a man that was born blind who sinned. Whose fault is it that this man is born blind? Is it his fault? And I'm going, what? Little babies can't sin. Especially little babies in the mother's womb, they can't sin. So that is just one of those stupid questions. But at least he got an answer. And Jesus said to him, look, it wasn't him that did anything wrong. How could he to be born blind? And it wasn't his mom and dad. They didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes things happen in this life. And I recall to mind, as I read about this, the pool of Siloam, but there was a tower of Siloam that fell and killed a dozen or more people. And one of the apostles said, it was Jesus said, I suppose you think that they were sinners greater than anybody else. And Jesus says, look, no. Sometimes things happen. And that's why it pays to be ready. So the Lord said, in the grand scheme of things, this was nobody's fault. We know that the babies can't help the way that they're born. I know sometimes mothers and fathers with bad behavior can help the way their babies are born, but it's not the little baby's fault. But there is an opportunity here, Jesus said, for the glory of God to be shown to the whole world, that the works of God should be made manifest in. And we need to know that, and we know that in the grand scheme, as you read on through John chapter 9, the Lord healed them. And nobody could believe it. The religious leaders didn't like it one little bit. They got angry. And they even threw him out of the synagogue because he kept saying to them, look, I'm not up in theology. I'm not up on how he saved me. But one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see. And I don't know about you, but if somebody here had, and I know we all have our aches and pains as we put the miles on the clocks. If one of you with the miles on the clocks and a few wrinkles or grey hairs or whatever it is that's bothering you, somebody came in with a shock of black hair and perfectly straight with no aches or pains, able to do 100 press-ups in one arm and what do you call those handstand press up? Happy days, I'd be over the moon. I really would. I wouldn't kick you out of church. I might be thinking, like, how did you get that? Because I could be doing with a taste of that myself. They didn't even care. And I'm going to give you one more observation, which is not in the bits that we read, but the religious leaders, they were happy for mum and dad to turn up at church. They were happy even for your man to turn up at church. But they didn't know him. Whenever he got healed, they had to say, is this your son that was born blind? And he said, it is. But if they really loved the people, they would have known exactly who he was. And they would have been pleased for him. And they wouldn't have been tearing a strip off of him. There is a difference between religion and Bible-believing Christianity. True modern religion gets offended when you point a finger at a feeling that it has. But Bible-believing Christians, or Bible-believing Christianity, if someone has a failure or a shortcoming, and someone says, look, brother, or look, sister, we should be able to say, I never thought of that before. I will pray about it, and then I will make a remedy for it. But modern religion doesn't care about you. It cares about what it can get off of you, but it doesn't care about you. As we read these instances of God healing people, and I love to read about God healing people. My sister had a tumour in the motor centres of her brain, and with a lot of prayer, and I believe she accepted Christ as her saviour, and she ate a whole bunch of apricot seeds, tumour completely disappeared. And she was called that particular surgeon's miracle patient, because she received no treatment for it whatsoever. But they were telling her that she was going to spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair. After reading these, a lot of people will think, oh, I must run to my local health, wealth and prosperity minister, because I want to be healed. They'll say to him, and you have the power of God to heal me, so heal me. And many people are taught that. And many people are happy to pay for the privilege. But you need to know that there is no guarantee that you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise once you get saved. That's a lie. And the Lord needs for people to understand and even to see that just because you're saved, yes, you're a new creature, you're still in the same situation you were in, but you're a new creature in Christ. Your direction will change from there. Your bank account doesn't suddenly swell. Your health service folder doesn't suddenly shrink. And your IQ doesn't miraculously go through the roof. But I'll tell you what does change. Your eternity changes. Your God changes. Your taste should change as well. The Lord needs to see in this world, needs for us to see, for lost souls to see, in this world, here and now, what can be done with the soul that trusts in him. Sometimes it wasn't fire coming down from heaven. Sometimes it was just the right word in the right ear at the right time that broke people, that brought them to the foot of the cross. And knowing, as a saved soul, that you or I, that have repented of our sins and are trusting in Christ as our Saviour, that we rest secure in the palm of Jesus Christ and in the palm of God the Father, that should be enough to make a difference. And I am sure there are many instances in this world of people getting saved and it making a difference. There are prostitutes that have gotten saved and wised themselves up and straightened themselves out. Drug users. There are paramilitaries. There are murderers. There are thieves. And many of them have had to go on and serve life sentences, but they're saved. And when their sentence on earth is done, when their life on earth is done, they have eternal life in heaven, regardless. I know some of us, and sometimes even myself, we feel a bit like Jonah. And we want a little bit more of the judgment and a little bit less of the loving kindness. But God loves each and every one of us. Now, there's big things in the Christian life and there's little things in the Christian life that we pray about. I'm always glad to thank the Lord for the weather or when I open my eyes in the morning. I don't mind praying for my food one little bit because I am thankful I'm fit enough and able enough to eat it. Most times I don't pray for parking spaces except whenever I'm parking in Portadown because the town centre parking's awful. But I do pray for parking spaces. And I do pray about inspiration for sermons. And I'm sure Monica did for does for lessons. And good deals when she goes out shopping. And for someone foolish enough to purchase the stuff I have on eBay at a good price. I pray for that. Or about treating people right. Or about people treating me right. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we get a little bit surprised whenever we get our prayers answered. So sometimes we don't actually tell someone we're praying for things just in case it doesn't happen and we're made to look bad. Or God is made to look bad. But I like it when they are answered. And it's nice when those little things are answered. Because there's a lot bigger issues in life. Not everybody is going to be looking for a parking space or a good deal in the shop or a good eBay sale. Not everybody is going to find a £20 note blow up at their feet. There are major things in this life that frustrate us and annoy us, even obstruct us and cause us physical harm. And of course, there is always the date that God knows of where we will be done with this world. And we will step off into eternity. And God needs for lost souls and even saved souls to see how Bible-believing Christians behave when they come across these instances. So that they can see the works of God manifest in our lives. I am not going to stand here and tell you it's all going to be ticker tape parades and bands whenever God takes and uses you. I know for a fact, if I could pick one thing to be in the toolbox, I would not want to be an angle grinder disc. Because they get worn down. And depending on what you're doing, they get worn down real quick. Sometimes it ain't pleasant being a child of the King of Kings. There doesn't seem to be a benefit to it. Our pockets don't get bigger, we don't get, well, sometimes we do get stronger because there's maybe a bit of work involved, but we don't become more popular. Life doesn't seem to get easier. Yes, we have a closer walk with God, and unfortunately, if you as a Christian are looking for peace and purpose in this world, you're not going to find it. But if you look for peace and purpose with God, you will. God will work with you, through you, on you, and around you whenever you say, Lord, I know I wanted X, Y, and Z, but I know, Lord, you want A, B, and C, so I'm going to do A, B, and C, and I'm going to do it first. And sometimes you might find there is actually a bit of space and time for X, Y, and Z, and maybe not of them all, but at least the important one, which is X. The rub is, how do we respond to those things? What do we do when these things hit us in the face? People are at many different stages in their lives. Some are full of the joys of youth and spring and vitality. Others are busy working a life and supporting a family. Others yet are drawn towards the end of their lives. And they have maybe eternal thoughts upon their mind. How do we respond to the humps and the bumps in life? The first thing that we cannot do is lose sight of the man that saved their souls. I think it's in Revelation chapter 2, there was a church in a place called Ephesus. Looked fine, but whenever the Lord looked under the bonnet, he had to say to the people there, you've left your first love. You're just going through the motions. Don't do that. Don't just go through the motions. If you feel you are, just take a time out and go to God in prayer and start praying. And then go to his word and start reading. Don't lose sight of your salvation. Otherwise, you'll lose the plot. I'm going to tell you, lost folks have a head start and saved folks when it comes to getting the I'm going to say the best out of the world, but using the world to their advantage. They have an advantage on us. Unfortunately, there is no escape from this life. Someone once said, it will be the death of us all. For every single one of us, it's going to come to an end. And sadly, most folks view events in life, and especially the preparations for death, as something to be avoided, and definitely something that people are not prepared for. As a Bible-believing Christian, saved through your repentance of your sins and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, name written in the Lamb's book of life, your actual eternity and this life and your salvation were from the hand of God and kept in the hand of God. You might lose your money, your health, your life, your friends, but you will never lose heaven, because it's not up to you, and you were not given the charge of keeping it. That's God's job. Nothing can take that away from you. Not even something that you would do on yourself. And folks need to see that. Folks need to see that a Christian, with their limited time here and the whole eternity that's going out in front of them, that the infinite God that gave us life in the cross of Calvary, for anybody that turns up, is there to help us through life and to carry us home to heaven, to be with him forever. That is his promise. And that should affect you and I. Does anyone remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 5 where he said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One that always springs to my mind is giving people your spot in the queue, or being a little bit patient with someone that is impatient. And they say, why don't you go ahead? You look to be in a bit of a hurry. And they'll say, well, what about you? And normally my stock answer is, I am going to live in heaven forever, and a few more minutes in this world is not going to hurt me. You go ahead. And that's just one example of the many things that we're going to come across in life where we can approach them as someone that is impatient, that is lost and going to hell and is scathing words, or we can approach them wisely as a child of the King of Kings and using that as an example to reach out to them. Does anyone remember the demoniac of Gadara? And he was saved, and he had a legion of devils fired out of him. And there was a whole herd of hogs that were possessed by the devils and ran down into the sea and were all drowned. And he wanted to follow Jesus gloriously with the apostles. And you know what Jesus said to him? Go home to your own people and tell them the great things that God has done for you. It could be glorious at the front of the church. It could be interesting in the corner of a car park. Or it could be as simple as you just thanking the Lord for a cup of tea that you're about to have with a friend or a family member, and then they say, you're thanking God for your tea. You're thanking him for a digestive biscuit. Why would you do that? And then you can say something along the lines of, or whatever the Lord gives you to say, look, I got saved 35 years ago. I understand from the many foolish things that I did before I got saved, and even since, that my life could have been over at any time. Now, as I look at 60, I see the lives of many people that are over years before they expected or thought. Or as I would mention to people up at the Crescent Link, there's some people here in this car park whose names are going to be in the back of one of the newspapers Are you sure, if your name is in the back of the newspaper, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're going to heaven? People need to see. Instead of just a last minute personal example, oh God, thank you for taking me to heaven. I had the best of times in this world. I enjoyed the parties and the sleeping and the drugs and the drinking, and I enjoyed all of those things. I think now that we're going to be meeting up face to face, that I should start behaving like a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. That person has either got a very poor pastor, is not saved, or is going to be in for one heck of a thick ear whenever they see God. Because he might say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, but he'll have a few words to say about the treasures that were supposed to be delivered to his feet. What in the world did you do with your life? What do most people do when God points a finger at them? It was the woman you made, God. And the woman goes, it was the snake you made, God. And that guy will go, it was the minister you sent, God. And God will be checking his ledger saying, no, he was never one of mine. But you did have a mind of your own, you could have anyway. That doesn't mean you have to be running around with a Bible the size of a telephone directory, and as soon as someone talks to speak to you, just go bang up the side of the head and say, you've been Bible thumped. That does not mean that. It's not about, you see those two young fellows that were stopped at Manchester Airport. It's not about tasering the guy so that he falls like a log of wood and then putting your foot on him to make sure that he doesn't get up until you have had your say. The Bible says we're not conquering people. We are inviting people. We want them to see what God can do with a soul whose name is written in heaven and be able to say, do you know what? I would like that. I would like the words to speak. I would like to be able to put my head in the pillow at night and not be worried if something goes wrong and I open my eyes in heaven. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The little verse, eye is not seen and ear is not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it's been revealed a little bit to us. Even the best of things that we enjoy here, the best of things, not bad things, but the best of things, is nothing compared to what God has for us in this life and in eternity. You can be supple, gentle. Sometimes you just have to tell folks straight to their faces, just like Peter did to, was it Simon the Sorcerer? You're in the gall of iniquity, get yourself right in case God comes down and God sorts you out himself. Or what was it Pat used to say? God's big foot will come down from heaven and step on. If he did that a few times, people might shape up and take notice. But I knew of a man that couldn't turn it off. He was ardent, but he had no wisdom, no patience, no humility. And he turned the whole family away from God at the very point where a gentler preacher could have taken them by the hand and led them to the foot of the cross. Whenever a doctor was trying to treat this man's dying wife, he was in there with a Bible. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. And that man's wife was, she was suffering in a lot of pain. And all that he ended up doing was getting himself disfellowshipped from the family. They didn't want anything to do with them. There's a time and a place, and God will give you the wisdom if you let it. So when you can do all these things, when you can take a minute aside from the rat race that everybody else seems to be pounding down the road in their trainers or on their Lamborghinis or their Formula One racing cars as hard as they can, a Christian can do these things. Because we're not in the rat race anymore. The rat race is going down the broad road that leads to destruction and hell and the lake of fire. And you and I are not on that road anymore, friends. We're on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. So how can you? How can you be a Christian? How can you go and do and sacrifice? It's because God has better things for us. Might not think it at the time, but God has better things for us. He actually promised it. In Matthew 19, the Lord was talking about the good gifts and the helps and one thing and another. And how that the Lord would reward his disciples, his apostles. And his apostles say, but Lord, we've left everything for you. These are the words of Jesus as I say this. And they're to you and I. His children, his brethren. Matthew 19, verse 29. It's also in the book of Luke, I do believe. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold in this life and shall inherit everlasting life. That's the promise of God. God will make your losses good in the best way possible. And that's why I can do stuff for God. Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can go and speak to people about their souls. I have a desire. I understand there is an urgency in speaking to people about their souls. I'm going to tell you something. I'll let you into a little secret. The thought of going up to the Crescent Link grates on me sometimes. I just couldn't be bothered. But the thought of letting God down or missing a soul that turned up thinking, there's that wee fellow with a funny accent from Portadown, he's out with the megaphone again telling us how to get saved, I'm going to come back next week. That is what takes me back. The fact that God called me, God saved me, God even gives me the words to speak, that takes me back. And even that half an hour that I spend up at the Crescent Line is nothing compared to everything that God has done for me and continues to do for me. I can be a Christian because I'm going to heaven and the God that gave his life for me helps me day in and day out. And if he'll do it for me, what did Paul say? If he'll do it for him, he'll do it for anybody. All you got to do is go and ask. I know there's just, and then we're done. Book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth. And he doesn't say, no, you're smart enough. He doesn't say that. Just have to ask. Don't be afraid to do something for God. Even if people point the finger at you. Even if they laugh at you. The verse in the Bible that says, the Lord laughs at them because he sees their day is come. Be a good son of the King of Kings, a good daughter of the God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And you will have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother and family across the world and people lifting up your name in prayer and your circumstances too. And a God that's seated in heaven that is interceding for you against the accuser of the brethren, and his Father, yours and my Father, dispatching angels to minister to us, and so much more. As the fellow says, you can't lose for winning. And you throw your lot in with God, and you run his flag up your flagpole, and you stand up and speak out for Christ. And I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your patience this week. God bless you. Does anybody have a hymn that they'd like for us all to sing by way of closing?
13.
Hymn number 13. Hymn number 13 in the wee black book is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Excellent.
Let's stand as we sing hymn number 13 in the little book. Hymn number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And let's make a joyful noise. God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time and patience this morning. Safe travels home. And I look forward to seeing you all again very soon. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for your Son, and for being there for us, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your company this morning, for the promise, and for your promise of your company in heaven forevermore. Please bless us as we go home, Lord. Please look after Israel. Please hinder all those that hate you and your people at every turn. And please bless those that love you and your people at every turn. Lord, thank you for loving us and being one of our number. Please be with our brethren across the world at this time and give each one of us opportunities to worship and praise you and just lift you up in our lives, Lord. We love you and praise you and thank you for loving us and saving us. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We're dismissed. Amen.